May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. At the moment, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and tonight we come to verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, so the first part we've been looking at, has been towards God himself. The second part, our relationship with one another. But now we come to this, we then came to the one last time, if you remember, give us this day our daily bread. It's very beautiful. Simple request, our daily needs. The great lesson in this for the Christian is astounding fact that our great God, the creator of all, so immense we cannot really comprehend it, is aware of my daily needs. So he is to be exalted. So when we make our petitions to God, we tell him our spiritual needs, knowing that he will hear. Now, what do we learn from bread? Simple necessities. For example, in Proverbs 8:9, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with a food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and take the name of our God in vain. He prefers rather not to have either, but to just have sufficient. The psalmist in Psalm 37, verse 25 said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen his seed begging bread. We learn a great deal from that, you remember. In moderation, what we ask for. We ask for our daily needs. And we don't ask selfishly for things really that we don't need at all. It shows trust in him and dependence and humility. Now then, there's a lovely pointer to our Saviour, the bread of life, if you remember. John 6:27. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now, our petition tonight. What kind of a person am I going to be? Or what kind of a person am I? I've heard this phrase more frequently than I would care to hear it, where people say, I will never forgive them, not ever. Well, if they say that, it makes you feel very sad, but it does show you where they stand spiritually. We are told, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's the command, that's the instruction. Now, the position of the Christian, just for a little while, let's remind us of our position. I clearly understand because it's necessary here. This is even the person who's able to call God Father, the author of the Ten Commandments, to love God and to love our neighbour. They divide it into two. If you remember the first part, to love our attitude to God, his name, his person, his name, his day, and love our neighbour. We are not able to because we are selfish. We'll always make excuses. How many times have you heard regarding the Sabbath day? Well, we did go on Sunday, it was cheaper. The Lord understands. Well, he understands perfectly that you would have a disregard for him. Our inability because of sin, original sin. Now, God provides a way for us to be helped in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now then, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law in my place. That doesn't mean to say I mustn't live a life according to the law, but as far as my position before him is, I am satisfied with a perfect life, the perfect life of Christ in your place. And regarding your failure, which is often and frequent, my Son has paid the penalty. One we call his active obedience, and second we call his passive obedience. Now, the awakened soul, that is, the benefits of that are not ours, until the awakened soul approaches Jesus Christ with repentance and faith. Now, there's the problem. More than faith, even, is repentance. We will not let go of things, you know. our pride, our own willfulness, our contrary nature, all the whole host of things, sins, you know, we will not let go. That was the example of the rich young ruler, if you remember, I've mentioned a few times, because it is so telling. He really liked Jesus Christ when he saw him, and he wanted eternal life. And Jesus Christ said to him, very well, see how much. You kept the law? Yes, and he kept the law as far as reasonable behavior was concerned. And he said, well, sell all you have and give it to the poor. And he was very sad. And he turned away sadly. He wanted heaven, not enough. He turned away because he had many possessions. So really, you see, that word repentance is difficult. To turn away, it's metanoia, it's the word. You turn away from what you are. You turn away from all those desires and you turn towards God. Now, if you turn towards God with repentance and faith, which is a gift in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and you are righteous and you are His and you are justified in His sight. Sins, the principle and the power of sin is broken, and also the little details, the past sins, present sins and future sins. We can have sins that just get us down, and we would ask to be forgiven that, yes. You can include that if you want, so long as you don't forget. It's not counting about 20, 30, 40, 50 sins and naming them. You can if you want, but it's forgive me as a sinner. I sin because I am a sinner. So you take me as I am, Lord. I have failed you in the past and in the present and the future. So when we come to Him, it is an overall thing. There's nothing wrong in including particular ones, so long as you understand that that is not asking for forgiveness. That's just being worried about one. So you come as a sinner. Now then, the progression of the Christian, this position and this relationship, a profound effect upon us as a people. Our new position or standing in Christ remains always the same. If you have been awakened by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, if you have been given the ability to repent and you've turned away from everything that hinders being a man of grace and submission to the will of God, and if you have exercised faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and you are robed in the life of Christ. That never changes. That never, never changes. It's a very humbling thought, because very often we don't deserve it to be so, but that's how it is. It never, never changes. Nevertheless, what does change is ourselves. There's a transformation from what the old man and his ways to the new. So our minds and our affections and our will, are a long way from God. So we have a great deal to learn. So many feel that when they come to what they believe is an experience of conversion, and full stop, then they can be as difficult or as worldly or as lustful or anything as they like, because they say, well, I believe I can have my own way. I'm my own master. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, and they will not submit. Well, they have not understood. Neither have they had any experience. Now, our position secures progression. This is a process of sanctification. We often come daily for forgiveness, but here we have, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, we must see the necessity of this. For us, there is only one great forgiveness to begin with. That must be separated from what I'm going to tell you later on. That one great experience, there is total forgiveness. Past, present, future, the principle, the power of sin. Everything we have soiled and tarnished in our lives, all is forgiven. And we stand in Christ. But as we grow in grace, sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail. And there is such a thing as daily cleansing. Now, that doesn't add or take away from the big one, but it does show, you know, that you are growing in grace. Now, we'll go through some verses, and the person say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't sin. and feel it doesn't matter. Well, even though we may be really the Lord's, well, it still matters. If you have a wrong attitude towards a person, it still matters. If you answer them rudely, it still matters. If you hurt a person, it still matters. Now then, because we are growing in grace. So if we don't think that matters, well, wherever are we standing? Spiritually, you know, wherever. You may have convinced yourself, but nobody else. Now, in 1 John, begin with God. This, then, is a message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Very well. Then in verse 6, in that same chapter of John, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's quite plain, isn't it? He's testing our sanctification. If there's no sanctification there, don't talk to me about justification. If we say that, we lie and do not the truth. He describes a kind of fellowship, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Can you see what that verse is saying? If we truly are the Lord and are walking with him, we have fellowship with each other, and when we do fall, his blood cleanseth us. So now we are talking of a kind of byproduct of a great forgiveness, where there is daily forgiveness for daily failings. Now, the fact that we are willing to come and say, you see, very often in a prayer meeting, you may not hear a word of repentance, you know, and have we nothing to repent of? But we have, you know, as a church we have, as individuals we have. To think that we haven't, it means we haven't really understood very well. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Following on, if we say that we have no sin, he's really pressing this hard. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if you're a Christian now, who can really say a remarkable account of their conversion, but they say afterwards that they have no sin. Well, you know, we know that can't be right. We know. So it casts a great doubt whether they came to Christ or not. Because if you have become a Christian, you become increasingly aware that you want to grow in grace, and you really mourn in your heart when you're not growing as you should. If we confess our sins, now if we do this, and if we are living like that, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, can you see the point he's making? He's saying, you're walking in the light. And if you claim you're walking in the light and you say, well, there's no darkness or sin in me, and you never apologize, you never repent, well, who are you? You know, who are you? But if you have come to the cross, you're justified, but your sanctification is a process. Now, a process implies improvement. And if we're not interested in that process, that is a very serious thing. But if we are interested, it's very encouraging. You see, it's very encouraging indeed. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm sure today that every one of us has something to ask God's forgiveness for. You know, every one of us. Now, he forgives our debts. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's very definite there. You know, John really is regarded really as an apostle of love and gentle, but his words are very, very penetrating and devastating. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, what God, and his word is not in us. Well, that's pretty plain speaking. But our position, we're talking about the real thing, our position is in Christ. Our progression is necessary. And so we'll find there's so much mopping up to be done in our daily lives. So many failings. So many times that we feel, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't thought that. I wish I hadn't taken that attitude. You know, so what do? We go to God. We say, I'm sorry. But it must be more than that. Because I came across one man, and he had a strange, strange idea of repentance. He was very rude to me. And he said, I repent. And then he was rude again, and he said, I repent. I said, don't be silly. You're not at all sorry. It's just saying the words. You don't understand. Repentance means that you're truly broken before God for what you said, and that you're sorry for what you said to me and how you said it. That's repentance. And turning away from that, never to do it again. Repentance is very, very important. As faith is. Now, the petition of the Christian, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, it's not making our debts to be forgiven, making, if we forgive, a condition. It's saying if we don't do, then we are not forgiven anyway. It's not a condition to be forgiven. It's a statement that we are not forgiven if we do not forgive others. It's quite plain about it. Help to understand this in the parable I read at the beginning. Peter said, if somebody offends me, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? I thought it was very generous. You know, seven times when you've been really fed up with a person. And no, said Christ, 70 times seven, meaning ad infinitum. You go on forgiving. So he then gave them this account. A man who owed his master 10,000 talents, or I forget what the word was, an amount of money. And he was to be sold with his family and his property, but he begged for forgiveness. And this master was extremely kind. He not only said, I will not demand it, he forgave it. He had made the offer, I will give me time, I'll pay. No, he says, all right, I will forgive you. So he let him off the debt. It's very similar to our total forgiveness. But he had a servant, you see. He had a servant, and this servant owed him a mere 100 pence. And he had him beaten and put in prison and so on. But when the master heard this, he was very, very angry. He said, have you not understood what I've done for you? I've forgiven you so much, and you can't forgive so little. Who are you? Who are you? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if he from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now this is for all of us here tonight. Do you forgive the trespasses of those that offend you? It is a test of grace. It's a test. For if he forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses. That will be confirmed. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. But really we are saying it's not meaning that if I forgive, it's a condition that he'll forgive me. No, no. If he's forgiven me, then there should be an effect upon me. And if there's no effect upon me, well, the question is, have you understood at all? A Christian desires to be such a person, greatly forgiven, greatly forgiven, and experience deep, deep love and compassion for the Lord. And we have, if you feel you have been greatly forgiven, you will love him greatly. Regarding in the scriptures, one says she has been forgiven very much, and thus she loves much. And we should be like that. We have been forgiven so much. Have we lost something? Have we lost the thrill of being, I am forgiven. You know, I am forgiven. It should change. It should make our hearts very gentle and very kind. And if we do get irritable, and we are natural, we do, we must deal with it. God gives us time to do it. We must deal with it and put it right. And speak well of one another. You know, in our homes, speak well of those who lead the church. Always speak well of the pastor. I read something. I was looking through some papers. I've got piles of papers everywhere. But I happened to lay my hand on one pile of papers. I saw something, a page from some book, and it was very interesting. And I read it right through. It's very small print and difficult to read. And it said, will you join us with a petition to get rid of our pastor? Why do you say that? Well, don't you agree that he's a very poor preacher? Oh, yes, I do. Don't you agree that he's no interest in the people? Yes, I'm afraid I do agree. And they went on and they said, then will you sign this petition? No, he said. No. Why? He is the Lord's anointed. Now, the Welsh revival people took that very seriously. Touch not the Lord's anointed. Never speak ill of your pastor. He is the Lord's anointed. Can you see? I think I've only been in one church as a student, and to many churches, where I heard that they loved their pastor. Can you see why we are in this state in Wales today? You know, not only was it modernism, but we failed in what we should have been as well. So we should have a compassion and a love and a respect, and especially for those who have been laid their lives aside for the service of God and for each other. And for each other. We request something of the quality of God in our lives. You know, we're saying, who is a pardoning God like thee? Be lovely to consider a Christian. Who are pardoning people like these? You know, it's a wonderful thing, and it achieves a great deal. And it shows. It shows in the individual, and it shows also, not only in the individual, it shows in the church. You know, in the Thessalonica, their faith was known far and wide. People knew that church. As they would know a church of love, they'd know. You don't need to broadcast it. It's just known. It should be reflected in the way we forgive. As we forgive, may we be also forgiven. Where shall we find such generous hearts? Well, in the Christian, we have been forgiven much. And because we have been forgiven much, because we have, in the day of judgment, we need not be afraid. We will not be presumptuous. I don't think it can be that. You can have assurance of salvation, but presumption is a different thing. Presumption is coming before God and say, well, look at me, I believe, you can't come like that. You come with assurance. I know you'll receive me, my Father. I don't deserve it. But I know you will, according to the promise of your word. You know, so we approach him, and he will receive us as a father welcomes a child like that. That's why he puts this in this. It's a very searching prayer, very searching. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.